the studios of Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. William Link is my guest. Along with his partner, the late Richard Levinson, William Link created some of the finest hours in the history of television, including Mannix and Murder, She Wrote. The team also wrote some memorable television movies, such as The Execution of Private Slovak and That Certain Summer. But if they had done nothing else, Levinson and Link would be immortalized for the creation of the great detective, Lieutenant Columbo. Played by Peter Falk, Columbo is the rumpled detective star of several movies and a long-running series. However, if, like me, you have watched all the Columbo episodes repeatedly and crave some new Columbo stories, William Link has done you the favor of writing a dozen or so more cases for Columbo in his new book, The Columbo Collection. William Link, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Thanks so much, Gary.
It's a lovely little book for Columbo fans. Did these stories come to you recently, or are they untold tales of Columbo that were never realized as episodes?
No, they have nothing to do with any of the segments, and they're all brand new. Never published before except in this book.
The stories kind of break a little with the Columbo format. We don't always see the murder first and watch Columbo solve it.
Correct. Peter and I had discussed this, and also when Dick was with us, and we always said, Peter and us, we said, well, we should do, you know, maybe change format a little bit and have an unknown murderer and make it a whodunit, because as you know, what we had done on TV was you always see the murderer right at the top, planning the murder and executing it, and then in comes Columbo. He has no cards in his hand. All the aces are held by the murderer. So, you know, the whole fascination was, how is Columbo going to get the goods on the murderer, starting basically from scratch, with the murder itself?
You know, there are many episodes of Columbo that are my favorites. I love A Stitch in Crime with Leonard Nimoy, and I love Etude in Black with John Cassavetes, which I think you wrote the story for.
Yes, and, the first one he did, you know, a person you might have heard of, Steven Spielberg. You know, he directed Murder by the Book. That was our first on-the-air Columbo. He was a kid then. I still call him the kid to this day, even though, you know, he's in his 60s and he's white-bearded.
Yeah.
But he did a brilliant job.
So what about you? What are your favorite Columbo episodes?
Mine was Any Old Port in a Storm.
Oh, yes, with Donald Pleasence.
Right. That was a very good one, and I remember it had a rather touching ending.
Who's going to look after all this? The grapes and plant?
It'll go on, sir.
It's the only place in my entire life where I was ever really happy.
I took the liberty of bringing along a surprise.
Huh? Montefiascone. That's an excellent dessert wine.
I was hoping you'd like it.
And very suitable for the final course. You've learned very well, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir. That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
Thank you.
That's a great one. Well, how did you and your partner Richard Levinson meet?
We met the first day of junior high school. That was where two schools in suburban Philadelphia, a place called Elkins Park, where I grew up. Dick was he came from West Oak Lane in Philadelphia, but two schools amalgamated, and I was told beforehand to look for a tall guy who did magic and wrote mysteries, and some of Dick's friends said he should look for a short guy who did magic and wrote mysteries. And we met at recess, and we were together for 43 years until Dick's untimely death. I could never get him off the cigarettes.
Oh,
and he knew it would kill him. But could I try to get him on cigars, you know, which you don't inhale? Couldn't do it. He was hooked.
Well, when did you start collaborating professionally with him?
Well, we sold short stories when we were young. The first one we sold was to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, to Fred Danné, who was the editor for many years. And he was one half of the Ellery Queen partnership. And Dick and I loved the Ellery Queen novels when we were kids. And they published our first short story. Fred published it in Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, Whistling While You Work, about a mailman in Cooper, Colorado, a small town, fictional, of course, who kills his wife. But there was no Columbo in that story. We you know, created Columbo many years later.
Yes, of course, you had many other successes before Columbo, because you got into television in the 50s, correct?
We got into television our first... Well, we got out of the Army. We were drafted. And when we got out, we were riding by, you know, airmail then while we were in the service, because we were not together in the service. Dick was mostly in the United States and I was stationed in Germany. So we would collaborate by mail, airmail, as I said, and when we got out, we sold stories, and we had written two screenplays, scripts, that we sold to Canada, to General Motors. That was their big anthology show on Sunday nights up there. And we flew up to see the rehearsals and everything, and we were hooked. We loved early television. I had a television set, if you can believe it, in 1946.
Wow, was there
anything
on?
There were only three shows on a week. Uh-huh. You'd wait all week to see the shows, and the amazing thing is, the first anthology series, not anthology, but the first series on television was called Barney Blake Police Reporter, and it was a crime series. And that was the first mystery series ever on American television. And but when we got out of the Army, all the shows we wanted to write for, the anthology shows in New York City, Philco Playhouse, Kraft Theater, U.S. Steel Hour, they had all been mowed down by the guns of the Untouchables, a film show from Hollywood, and everything had gone east to Hollywood. That was the advent of the private eyes and the westerns, everything on film. And the handwriting was on the wall, and Dick and I knew we had to come out to Los Angeles if we wanted to write for television. And that's what we did many, many years ago. We came out in 1959. I drove across the country with a friend, and it was my first time. And Dick flew out, and then we got together out here, and the rest is history.
We're chatting with William Link, the creator of Columbo. Tell me about your collaboration with Richard Levinson. How did you collaborate exactly? What was it like?
For 43 years, it was Dick, a typewriter back then, and I would pace. We wrote every single line together. We had plotted the whole thing out. You know, the key time is when you structure, you know, a story. That's when you get it all together, first act, second act, third act. And then the writing is just something we did by rote. And eventually, right before Dick died, the computer came in, but Dick would never, I knew then he would never use a computer, because he had to literally hammer the keys as we wrote. He wanted that give on the keys. We both had the same typewriters, a Swiss typewriter back then. I knew he wouldn't go to a computer because, you know, on a computer, Gary, you don't hammer the keys. You know, it's a soft touch, really.
Yeah.
So I know he would never switch over, but then, unfortunately, he passed away. So I didn't know whether I could write alone. So I sat down and wrote an original screenplay, and I sold it to Universal for $500,000, and I figured I can write without Dick. We were very lucky in that we were both strong in the various elements, creating characters, construction, atmospherics, all those elements. And we were, that's what saved me, because I could do all those just like I did when I worked with Dick.
Well, you know, there was a Columbo episode, I'm sure you know, where I believe it was Jack Cassidy played a mystery writer, and he had a partner, and it was his partner who had done all the work.
Yes.
And I was wondering, was that based on you?
Well, that was the one that Spielberg directed.
Uh-huh.
And the big joke at Universal Studios then, where Dick and I were under a long-term contract, was who killed who? Did Link kill Levinson, or did Levinson kill Link? That joke went around the studio.
Before Columbo, you had major success with Mannix. Was that
Yeah, that was our first big hit. We were very young then.
That was at CBS, I believe.
Yeah, we did the pilot, and then we left the show. We had other fish to fry. Usually, Dick and I didn't want to hang around after we wrote the pilot. We became consultants on several of the shows. That meant, you know, we read scripts, made comments, notes, and sometimes work with writers, but that was fairly infrequent.
But with Columbo, you were the producer of the show.
Yes. We produced the show for the first season. Then after that, we staffed it with other very good producers, Stephen Bochco, and some others I just don't remember now. It was a long time ago. But we always, on Columbo, because we really loved, you know, that series, especially with Falk, and we always gave notes. After every episode or before, we always had lunch at the commissary with Peter Falk and discussed it and gave him notes. And that was our real baby of everything that we had created. And Dick, before he died, said, "You will not say on my tombstone any of the series. It will say co-created Columbo." And in a way, he was right, except he doesn't have a tombstone. He's in a receptacle with his ashes. And I've seen that, and it doesn't say on it, you know, co-created Columbo. But he was wrong in that sense. You know, Columbo was our baby from the beginning. Can't believe how successful it still is now. I mean, as we speak, it's touring Great Britain before it comes into the West End and doing extremely well. And the Japanese were over here 2 years ago interviewing me or filming me for an hour and a half in the interview because the Japanese are still obsessed with Columbo. They just can't let go of it.
I think it's because it's so great.
Yeah, that might be it. You know, I don't know. It's people love that series. I mean, go to your nearest bookstore or go on Amazon now and you can get the Columbo collection. If you really like the series, I guarantee you, you'll like the stories.
They are great stories. But no, and Peter Falk does seem to sort of live on the pages of your stories, but he was not your first choice for Columbo.
No. Columbo was first a stage play, or before that, there was a writer's strike and in 1960. And Dick and I had always said, if it wasn't for that strike, we probably would have never created The Cop. What happened was we went back to New York, which was our favorite city. We never liked L.A. that much, and I still don't to this day. It's okay. And it's incredibly deteriorated, the city, since when we came out here in 1959. And during the strike, we sat down, clever people that we were, we knew the Writers Guild contract in the fine print. You couldn't write for film television, but you could write for live television. And we saw that summer, we'd gone back east, we were bachelors then, we rented a huge apartment at 72nd and Broadway that was owned by a director named Stuart Rosenberg, a very fine director. He did a lot of very good feature films, including Cool Hand Luke with Paul Newman. And we rented his apartment during the strike because we figured it would be a long strike, and it was 5.5 months. But we enjoyed ourselves in New York. But that's when we sat down and we wrote a live show script called Enough Rope. If you give a murderer enough rope, he'll hang himself. You know, that was the old maxim way back then. And so we wrote that script, and our agent said, this will never sell. We sent it out, and it was bought. And then when the strike was over, we came back out to Los Angeles, which was then, you know, going to be our home, it looked like, unfortunately. And I've been here now, you know, over half a century. And that began, we realized that the stage play before that was a hit. It was produced by a man named Paul Gregory, who back then was a big-time Broadway producer. And we had a dynamite cast. We adapted it for the stage. We had Thomas Mitchell playing Columbo, you know, the great character actor. You know, he was the drunken doctor and stagecoach. He played many cops. He was the father in Gone with the Wind. Wonderful actor. Irish-American actor. And that really was the beginning, because the play, Prescription Murder, played all over the United States and Canada, and it was very successful. And then we sold that play to Universal a couple years after, and that was the true beginning, because then, you know, we sat in our bungalow at Universal and we said, you know, who's going to play? Thomas Mitchell died during our run in Philadelphia and into the hospital. He had colon cancer. And unfortunately, he passed on. And Dick and I said, well, we can't get Thomas Mitchell. You know, who are we going to cast?
Lieutenant Columbo, yes, ma'am, homicide.
Peter Falk, we had known in New York. We used to have lunch with him. He was just starting out acting. Did some things on Broadway. And we had the same agent at William Morris, the agency we were with in those days, after we got out of the Army. And in Hollywood now, we got a phone call where we were trying to say, who are we going to get to play Columbo now? Peter called out of the blue, and he said, I got this script, Prescription Murder, and I'll kill to play that cop. And he said, you know, he would be perfect. We didn't even audition him. He had the role right there.
Well, he's quite a bit younger than Thomas Mitchell.
Yeah. Columbo started out young, and, you know, the stage play is still being done, as I mentioned before, all over the place.
Yeah.
Europe, the French are obsessed with Columbo. Through the years, I mean, many, many actors have played Columbo on the stage.
Really?
Yeah. I have the royalties to prove it. So, it's been amazing. Of all, you know, the 16 series we had on the air, which is still probably some kind of record that we had created, Columbo still shines as the most popular, even more popular than Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote had quite a long run also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And were you producers of Murder, She Wrote also, or did you leave the show?
We started out again the first year. We created that with a man named Peter Fisher. And we were the ones who cast Angela Lansbury. At that time, very, very few people in America outside of New Yorkers really knew who she was. She'd been in some feature pictures. The one she did with Frank Sinatra, she was the murdering mother.
The Manchurian Candidate.
But she was basically a Broadway actress.
Mm-hmm.
So what was good there is when we cast her, America really discovered her. You know, she was like their discovery.
Yeah.
Which added a lot to the popularity of that show. Besides her being, you know, a wonderful actress, and she's still with us. She lives back in New York now.
Right.
But she was wonderful to deal with. She's just a terrific human being, Angela.
Well, I want to ask you also about some of those great TV movies that you wrote back in
love those. Those were our favorite things, really.
Which ones were your favorites?
We loved That Certain Summer, which was the first play about homosexuality.
Hal Holbrook was the star.
Yes, Hal Holbrook and Marty Sheen. And then we put Sheen, we loved his performance, and we put him in Execution of Private Slovak. And we made a television star out of Marty. I'm very proud of that. He's he's an activist. And he's been arrested, I think, a couple times. Wonderful actor and a terrific person. And Hal is still with us, and the same thing with him.
That was a very controversial film, That Certain Summer.
Yes. The night it was on, ABC affiliates got threats, bomb threats, against their stations. That's how controversial it was. We also did another picture like called The Gun, which was The Travels of an American Handgun. We took incredible flack from the National Rifle Association. They damned us in their publication. They said we made a hero out of an Army deserter, Private Slovak, that put up two perverts in That Certain Summer. It was just very ugly. And they had a writing campaign against ABC, the network. They had thousands of people to write in, and ABC was intimidated. They were licensed to show That Certain Summer twice, once in prime time and then again that summer, and they never showed it again that summer. They were so intimidated.
I don't think it's ever been shown again, has it?
Not to my knowledge. The sad thing, Gary, is that a lot of those movies of the week, Universal is not keeping the negatives in proper shape because there's no venue. I don't know where you are, but there's no movies of the week. I mean, Dick and I, we think, you know, we made some fine ones,
yeah.
But there were plenty of other quality producers who made equally fine movies of the week.
Well, that was that era in the 1970s. It was a high point for that. There were quite a few good ones, including the two that you mentioned, and there was also, I remember, the Glass House.
Oh, yeah, excellent. There was the Radon and Tebby.
Uh-huh. A War of Children was another good one.
Yeah, I mean, many of those pictures.
Of course, Brian's Song is another one that comes to
mind.
Yeah,
Brian's Song was beautiful.
Yeah.
I saw that, actually, they brought that back, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. And I cried again at the end.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it takes a lot to make me cry, let me tell you. That was excellent. That was written by a very fine writer named Tracy Keenan Wynn, who's been out of the business a long time, like I have.
Yeah. Wait, so, but you're not completely retired because you're writing Columbo stories?
Oh, yeah. And all my short stories, I write the non-Columbo short stories. That are published all the time. In fact, in the recent issue of Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, that was sort of Dixon, our home through the years. And I like to write short stories more than Dick did. And we didn't write them for a long while. We were, you know, working very hard, you know, doing our television things. But that was sort of home base for us. And the current issue of Ellery Queen has a story of mine. Non-Columbo.
Do you feel this new book, The Columbo Collection, is the first in a series? You're going to write some more Columbos for us?
Oh, yes. Well, what the publisher doesn't know, what I'm telling you, and I'll probably get back to him, is if this collection, Gary, does well, and it seems to be doing quite well, I wrote 27 Columbo short stories.
Oh, goody.
My goal is to write 50. In fact, today when I was in the waiting for the doctor, I plotted a whole new Columbo short story, including the big clue at the end. And so, no, I'm going to continue to write Columbos.
And
you can count on that.
And are you ever tempted, just because you know you could do it, are you ever tempted to commit murder, Mr. Link?
No. I don't own a weapon. I'm scared of guns. And I never hated anybody enough. I'm just not a hate person.
Do you think you can get away with
no
it, though?
No chance of that. I only do it on paper. I committed plenty of murders on paper. But that's it for me.
Well, I want to remind everybody that the book is called The Columbo Collection.
Yes.
And the author is William Link, creator of Columbo, along with his partner, the late Richard
yes.
Levinson. William Link, thank you so much for spending some time with us on From the Bookshelf.
It's my pleasure, Gary. I hope your listeners will go out, then get it on Amazon. It should be in all the bookstores later this month.
That's it for this week's edition of From the Bookshelf. I hope you enjoyed the program and that you'll come back again next week for another great show. In the meantime, check out our podcast page at KUSP.org or find us on Facebook and iTunes. I want to thank our From the Bookshelf staff, the lovely Miss Breanne Beale, for all of her hard work. Thanks, Breanne. And I want to thank my guest, William Link, creator of Columbo and the author of The Columbo Collection, for being my guest this week. Special thanks this week also to the LA Times' Susan King. Thank you, Susan, for helping us put this show together. For From the Bookshelf, I'm Gary Shapiro. See you next time.